As we hear the word of the Lord for us this morning, this Advent season in which we are moving through, hearing the various titles that the Spirit, through the prophet Isaiah, has given Jesus, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. We know Jesus as our Savior because he is our Savior. He's the one who saves us. From Isaiah chapter 9, again, we hear, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government, the ruling authority, will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Wonderful titles that express who Jesus is, what he does, what he brings, and how he comes to bring the kingdom of God alive even in your heart and life. And for us this Advent season, there are many activities that we're involved with that help define who we are as families. Things that we like to do, bound together in time these days, but also are passed through the ages from one generation to another. It's wonderful in our family to see some of those traditions that we've experienced growing up. Now, in a marriage, two families coming together and then joining those with your children and then seeing your children pass them on to their families and their children. You know, grandma's Christmas cookie recipe that everybody loved, right? The way that you give a certain aspect of a gift or a type of gift that's passed down. Maybe it's a unique ornament on the tree. Maybe it's the opportunity to establish a unique nativity, a creche, a manger scene in your house. And all of these for families, for people in relationships are known in time today, even as they're passed down through the ages. These titles that Jesus is given are bound for us in the eternity where there is no time, but they're known to us in the working out of time from the prophet Isaiah up through the birth of the Messiah and even into our hearts and lives today that carry forward then in the message of the good news. Titles like Wonderful Counselor, this one who purposely comes into our lives and in the joy and gladness of what he brings, works out his purposes beyond our comprehension, for sure, but does so because he loves us and longs for us to be in eternity with him. This one who is Mighty God, power and influence is exerted, particularly in the strife, the warfare, the very battle for our soul in which Jesus the Messiah is the victor. And today we get to another title, Everlasting Father. Kind of a unique title for Jesus, the Son of God, that he would bear this title, Everlasting Father. But it has to do with who God is in his eternity, as Jesus is eternal, and makes himself known in time. And that time works through the ages, and it engages today, and it will tomorrow in this title of Everlasting Father. This title for Jesus doesn't express so much what he does, like the other two titles, which were particular aspects of what he does, but it speaks particularly today, this title of who he is. Who he is. It comes out of several perspectives that the Lord God helped bring the Israelites into in understanding who he is. For instance, Everlasting Father, that title, is bound in the unique worldview of the Israelites. That God is God over time, operating in very different measurements of time than often we do, and yet has established for us the time in which we live. And is ruling as the government is on his shoulders, ruling over us as sovereign Lord. Now, this is our worldview too. A worldview based out of the truth of the scriptures of God, that one called the Messiah is the sovereign Lord of all. For us, we understand him to be sitting at the right hand of God, ruling there in the authority that the Father has given him until he is called to return and make all things new. This perspective of Everlasting Father comes to the Israelites in the covenant that the Lord God had made with the promises that come with that covenant. Well, that's us too. We've been brought into the promises of God because of his promises given to us in the covenant of baptism. Those promises of salvation. We've been brought into a relationship too. To know Jesus then as everlasting Father. To know and understand time then to be both lineal, it moves, as we know, through history, and it's also cyclical in that the events of our human nature, we continue to relive over and over again. It's that sinfulness, that cycle of sinfulness that we're caught in our human nature. But God is at work, despite ourselves, in lineal time and in the cycles. Even in the cycles of this season like we celebrate today, or these weeks of Advent, that these cycles remind us of the working of the Lord and the unique message of Advent of the call to prepare for his coming once in time and his coming again in an unknown time, a time in which we're called now to prepare. And finally, this title, Everlasting Father, comes with the eternal God's presence as a constant, giving them then something that they needed, the Israelites. And we need too. It gives us an identity, and with that identity comes a hope. All of these aspects of who Jesus is as everlasting Father is caught up in this title for who he is. Who he is our identity. And he is our hope because he is the one who saves. He is our salvation. Now, with all of this of who Jesus is, it's good for us just to pause a moment, who Jesus is not. What this title, Everlasting Father, means and is not. Jesus is not the Father. This title does not bring him into that person of the first person of the Trinity, the Father. Jesus is the Son, the second person of the Trinity. But what this title does is it brings us into the understanding of the sovereign rule, the authority that the Father has given the Son as a Father cares for his people. So we see that in Jesus. And so Jesus bears this title, Everlasting Father, as the Son who is sovereign, ruling over all, caring for all, like a hen gathers his people into a relationship, giving them an identity. We are the bride of Christ, Christians, and giving us a hope as we live within that identity. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, the title he bears, our everlasting Father. One of the hard aspects for, at least me, during this Advent season, is that time just goes so quickly, right? Here we are already at the third week of Advent, and time is just marching on. And it seems like so many of these unique experiences that we share are just kind of one and done. Right? Christmas concert. Beautiful. Enjoyed it. Done. Yesterday, we had 300 people come through our doors yesterday with our early child education center's four-year-old Christmas program, pancakes, crafts, the expression of Santa bowing at the feet of Jesus as Mary and Joseph walked around with a baby in their arms. Powerful message for the children and families to experience. Done. And here we are, lighting the third candle, the expression of joy. Done. Am I missing something? This just seems to go so fast. Where's the identity and the hope that I have? Is something going on that I'm not a part of? You feel that way too a little bit? It's in the marching of time and the expression of these days. We're part of a community, the body of Christ. And together with other people, we journey lineally through time, even as we experience the cycles of life, death. We experience the cycles of the church year, Advent into Christmas. But there in our identity, maybe we're missing something. What are we missing? Is it that our identity just gets covered up by all of these other important events, moments, that our identity gets pushed aside and shoved aside, and maybe we forget a little bit? We're part of a community that has this identity that's marked by hope. And yet that hope is constantly oppressed by a sinful, condemning world, broken. And that hope wavers at times because I allow it to waver. God does not, and that hope does not, but I do in its presence. And so maybe for us, how are we hindering? How am I hindering this hope? Questions for us to think about, pause, ponder, seek the Lord in his leading and in his guiding, in the identity and the hope that we have as his people this Advent season. In our everlasting Father, in Jesus. He's the one who is our identity and who is our hope, right? He's the one who gives us an identity as a child of the Heavenly Father, a son, a daughter, and an inheritor of the kingdom. And in that identity comes a hope that meets today's challenges because of what that hope gives to us. Not just in the lineal markings of time, a peace and a comfort in Jesus, that's what part of that hope is about, but as time moves on and we move through the cycles of life, eventually even our bodies giving one way to death, that hope brings us into the presence of our Heavenly Father that we've been promised. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Everlasting Father, this title of Jesus. Paul would speak to the Colossians about this, marking for us as well this truth, that Jesus' identity is in his victory. The victory that proclaims forgiveness of sins. The victory that proclaims new life in his resurrection for you and me, not just in the marking of lineal time and days now, but unto eternity. This is Jesus. And in his victory is his everlasting supremacy. He rules and reigns, and the government is on his shoulders because he is the Savior, the Messiah, and your Lord. This truth marks us in an identity that gives us a hope that Jesus reconciles to himself all things. Things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is our everlasting Father, Jesus, the Messiah, at work. This is the reconciliation that he gives in his own death. It's the hope that we possess. Because he loves us as a father loves his own child. That's why Jesus says to us, I no longer call you friends. I call you brothers and sisters. I call you as a relationship marked by my victory in your life and the hope that that victory gives to you and to me. This everlasting Father, Jesus, our Lord. So for you and me, as we move through time, lineally, third week of Advent now, as we have the opportunity to celebrate with family and friends and pass down in the cycles of Advent, Christmases now and to come, as we exchange those meaningful moments with one another, building memories and knowing that they'll be carried off down into the future with generations to come. Who are we as a people then of God? But ones that have an eternal identity and an eternal hope marked in time now, even with others, celebrating his birth and prepared for his return. This is who we are now in our eternal Father, Jesus. So maybe to answer the question, what am I missing here, might come in the form of another question that we might ask ourselves. How can I help others savor this moment? How can I help others who maybe share in the same identity that I have, a brother or a sister in Christ Jesus? Maybe somebody who doesn't have that identity yet. Not yet. They don't know Jesus yet. As as Savior, but to help them understand the importance of this moment as well and the identity in this moment. Some of you have already expressed the blessing this Advent season of gifting yourself to others. A phone call with somebody, or a visit to their home, or cards and messages of hope, identity in Christ Jesus, a caring that we share with one another. Maybe there's somebody on your heart, particularly in this season, today, these weeks, that the Lord puts on you to reach out to, gift yourself in your identity of who you are for them. And maybe that's a way to help us fill in that answer. What am I missing? Nothing. I have an identity in Christ Jesus, and that identity is meant to be shared and lived out with others. And how might we experience then and know this hope that we've been given? Well, again, the question, how might someone experience my hope that maybe they'll pass down? We had an opportunity a couple years ago to meet a family who were new Christians in our lives. And they became friends of ours. They didn't have a nativity scene. They didn't have any kind of creche or anything like that in their home. They didn't know what that was. So we had the opportunity to share with them something that was very meaningful for us. It was a sacrifice for us. But it was a willing sacrifice so that they could have this symbol of hope in their home. I'm not saying that's what you need to do. Maybe that's not what you need to do. But something that we have an opportunity so that somebody else in their future passes down the hope that we know, who is Christ Jesus, our everlasting Father, a title that brings us into who he is, the Messiah, giving you and me an identity and a hope today, but unto eternity. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And thank you for giving to us these titles that help us comprehend the bigness, the vastness of who he is in the working of our lives for our salvation. And then for giving to us an opportunity, Lord, to know the identity and the hope that Jesus brings into our hearts and lives every day, that we too have an opportunity to share with others, gifting ourselves, maybe even something of our lives that would be passed down for their future generations too. Lord, opportunities that you give to us to interact with people in Jesus, our everlasting Father. Be worshipped and praised and glorified as this is known among us as your people, people of an identity and hope in Jesus our Savior. In his name, we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As you live under him, your everlasting Father, he is Jesus, your Messiah. Amen.